Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about Purim, a little of our halacha about Purim. So we're going to interrupt our discussion of Pesach and focus a little on Purim. You know, the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah that women are chayavos in reading the Megillah just like men. And even though reading the Megillah is a mitzvah saseh shezman grama, it's a rabbinic commandment that has a set time, and women are normally exempt from a mitzvah saseh shezman grama, but Megillah is an exception because afhein hayu b'yoso hanes, they too were in the miracle. And that overrides the exemption of Zman Gerama. Now, there's a machlokas, Rashi and Taisvas, what does it mean they too were in the miracle? Rashi says it doesn't just mean they were in the miracle, but it means they were responsible. They were the ikar of the miracle, namely Esther was the main vehicle that caused Haman to be killed. Tosfos says, no, that's not so mashma. Afhein, they also were. According to Rashi, they were the ikar. So Tosfos learns, afhein hayabiyosu anes just means they too were the beneficiaries of the nes, that they would have been killed with the rest of the Jewish people. So what do you see from the Gemara and Megillah? You see from the Gemara and Megillah that afhein hayabiyosu anes can override the exemption of mitzvah saseh shezman grama. Now, where else does the Gemara use afhein hayabiyosu anes? It uses it in two other cases. It says women are chayavos in dalid kaises during the Seder, even though it's man grama, because afhein hayabiyosu anes. And there too, you have the same machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, where Rashi says the women are the ikar hanes, because bischar nashim tzidkaniyas nigalu. So Rashi says the same thing. And Tosva says no, they were in the nes of being redeemed from slavery. And the third case where the Gemara uses afhein hayabiyosu anes is women are chayavos to light or participate in Ner Chanukah, even though it's a zman grama, because afhein hayabiyosu anes. And here Rashi says that women were involved in the ikar anes because there was a famous story of Yehudis and Holofernes. This is a medrash that talks about a woman Yehudis who killed one of Antiochus's main generals, Holofernes, and therefore a woman is an ikar anes. And Tosfos learns, no, that women were nichlal in the persecutions of the Antiochus and the like. So these are the three cases where the Gemara uses afhein hayu b'yoso hanes, and that is Mikra Megillah, Ner Chanukah, and Dalid Kaisis. Now Taisis in Arvi Psochen asks a very good kasha. The Gemara says women are chayavos to eat matzah on the Leil Seder. Aye, matzah is a zman grama. The Gemara says no, because we have a juxtaposition between the chiyav of matzah and the isur of chametz. It says, lo sochal olav chametz, shivas yamim teichal olav matzos. So we darshan, whoever has the negative of not eating chametz also has the positive of eating matzah. And since women have to keep the negative, they have to keep the positive. That's the Gemara. So frek taisves a gavaldik akasha. Why do I need a hekesh to say that women are chayavos? Matzah is the same idea as dalit kosos. Let them be chayav in matzah because they too were in the miracle of the Exodus. Afhein hayu b'yoso anes. Why do I need a hekesh? So Tosfos gives a very important answer. It's a very yesodistic answer. That afhein hayu b'yoso anes is not a strong enough svara to be mechayev on a doraisa level. In other words, you'll notice that the three cases where we say Afein Ayir Osu Anes are on mitzvos that are rabbinic, rabbanan mitzvos. Dalit Kosovs, reading Megillah is mitzrabbanan, although it dates from the time of Mordechai, but it's rabbanan. And Ner Chanukah is rabbanan. So when you're dealing with a rabbinic Zman Grama, Afein Hayub Yosu Anes is enough of a reason to convince the rabbanan not to give women that exemption. But on a Torah level, Zman Grama is an absolute rule that Afein Hayub Yosu Anes is not going to override. And that is why we need a Hekesh to be Mechayib. But this is what Tosfos says in Arvei Pesachim. Okay. Now, going back to Mikra Megillah, right? Women are chayavais in Mikra Megillah because Afein Hayu Biyosei Hanes. So Tosfos brings a machlokas. Can a woman read Megillah for a man? Now, we're not dealing necessarily with Kol Isha problems. Let's assume that she's not even going to sing it. And we're not even dealing with Tznias problems. These are all peripheral issues. Let's assume that the husband had surgery and his jaw is wired shut and he can't leave the house. And he happens to have married a learned woman. So it's simply a question, can his wife read Megillah for him, or do you have to have a man read Megillah for him? Now, the logic of it would be that anything a woman is, right, the normal rule is, if I'm not chayiv in a mitzvah, I can't do it for somebody else. A kid below bar mitzvah cannot do a mitzvah for me because he's not chayiv. A woman cannot blow shofar for me because she's not chayivus. On the other hand, any mitzvah that her chayiv is the same as a man's, she can do for a man. A woman can absolutely make kiddush for a man, because a woman is chayiv and kiddush, just like a man is. That's because of Zohar and Shamar, you compare the positive and the negative. So logic would have told me, a woman, factoring out Kol Isha, if she's reading the truck, factoring all that out, a woman could read Megillah for a man, because she's chayivus, and he's chayiv. And one person who's chayiv could be might see another person. But Tosfos brings a shita from the Baal Hilchos Gedolos, the Bahag, which is one of the Gaonim, that even though women are chayavos, a woman cannot be mitzi a man. And that's what Tosfos says in Megillah. He doesn't say why. And Tosfos in Erchin adds a little bit of a twist in explaining the Bahar. And he says, because men are chayav in kriyas ha-Megillah, reading the Megillah, a woman is chayaves only in hearing the Megillah, and therefore she cannot be mitzi the man that is chayav in kriya. And because of this, we actually paskin that when a woman reads Megillah for herself, or if a man is reading Megillah for a woman, he does not make the bracha al mikra Megillah, on the reading of the Megillah, he makes the bracha lishmoa Megillah, based on that idea that women are chayeves in shmia, not in kriya. So that has two repercussions. Number one, a woman cannot be motzi a man, like the Bahag. And number two, the bracha that a woman makes or that a man makes for her is lishmoa instead of mikra. Now the question becomes, what does this mean? A woman is chayav in shmia and a man is chayav in kriya. I mean, it doesn't mean that either. A man doesn't have to read it. I could say with the chazan reading it. In other words, what's the difference between I'm Yaisei with the Chazan reading it and a woman being Chayevus and Shmia? In both cases, everybody's Yosei by hearing the Megillah. And why would a woman only be Chayev and Shmia and not Kriya? The Gemara says, a woman is chayav because of afein hayubiyoso anes. Whether that means like Rashi that it's the ikar anes, or whether it means that she was also nichlal in the gezera of lahashmin l'harav. Where do you see that a woman's chayav is any different than a man's at all? Right, the woman is shmiya, the man is kriya. So there's a beautiful pshat that's given by the Sefer Marcheshes. Now the Marcheshes is Rav Chanoich Egis. And Rav Chanoich Egis was the head of the basin in Vilna at the time of Rav Chaim Meiser. So Rav Chaim Meiser was the Gadol Hador, and Rav Chanoich Egis was his right-hand man for Vilna. Vilna was a very big city. Rav Chaim Meiser actually didn't have a lot of time to really take care of Vilna. And Rav Chanoich Egis was the Paisek, the main Paisek in Vilna. Very, very big gadol, very, very chashuv a gadol, and the like. It's interesting that in Baltimore there was a very prominent reform rabbi, Jacob Egis, who was a big scholar. And I think he might have been a nephew of the Marcheshes in that way. But okay. But be it as it may, the Marcheshes says the following idea. He says, Mikra Megillah is a mitzvah that the Chachamim enacted that we say Megillah, right? But he said, there's actually two different mechayvim. There are two different mitzvos that you're doing when you're reading Megillah. One thing that you're doing is pirsume nisa. You are publicizing Hashem's miracles. Right? The mitzvah of Mikra Megillah is to be mefarsim in a public way the miracles of Hashem. That is why l'chatchila you have a minyan. That is why l'chatchila you actually go to the biggest group of people that you can go to. In other words, it's better not to have a lot of small minyanim. I mean, we do it if we have to, but rov am pirsumei nisa. That is one aspect of Mikra Megillah. But there's a second aspect of Mikra Megillah, and that is, since Mikra Megillah celebrates the downfall and destruction of Haman, and Haman comes from Amalek, you are fulfilling eradicating Amalek. In other words, it's a rabbinic fulfillment, because it's not Parshas Zachar, but midrabanan, you are fulfilling the inyan of remembering the destruction of Amalek. That's why people bang with Haman's name and they shout it down, etc. So it turns out that there are two different mechayvim in Megillah Esther. One is pirsume nisa, and the other is zechiras Amalek. And the Chachamim were mechayev us to embody these two concepts in our reading. Now, the Sefer Achinuch says, a big chiddush, the Sefer Achinuch says, women are not chayavais in the mitzvah of remembering the evil of Amalek. Now, this is contrary to our common custom. You know, this Shabbos, we're going to read Parshas Zachar, which is the Parsha of the Torah, talking about the war of Amalek and the fact that Amalek was defeated, and you have to remember to eradicate Amalek. And you know that women make a point of going to this, because this is a Doraisa reading, because this is a fulfillment of the mitzvah to remember Amalek. And even women want to come because it's Doraisa. But Alib in the Emes, the Sefer Achinuch says, women are not chayavos in Parshas Zachor, because women are not chayavos in Zechiras Amalek. Now, why would that be? Zechiras Amalek is not Zman Grama. Yes, rabbinically it's once a year, but Zechiras Amalek is any day of the year that you want. So the Sefer Achinuch says the following chiddush: the obligation to remember Amalek is correlated to the obligation to eradicate and kill Amalek. Two different mitzvahs, remember and eradicate. And since women don't have to eradicate Amalek, because that would be combat, and women are normally exempt from combat, so the Sefer Achinuch says, anyone that's putter from Mechia is putter from Zechira. Now, the minhag that we have, that women go to Parshas Zachor, that is essentially disassociating Mechia and Zechira. But the Sefer HaChinuch correlates them. So the Marcheshes wants to say the following. It turns out that there are actually two conceptual reasons why a woman might be exempt from Megillah, at least in one aspect of it. One is Megillah is a mitzvah sasechus man grama. It's a time-bound commandment. The other is she would be exempt from the Amalek rule, even without Zman Grama. She would be exempt because Nashim are not Benos Milchama. They're not obligated in Mechiyah, therefore they're not obligated in Zechiyah, like the Chiyah. So, says the Marcheshes like this. The Gemara says, notwithstanding Zman Grama, women have to hear Megillah or say Megillah because they are also in the miracle. So the Marcheshes argues quite cogently that is only a svara to be machai of them in the aspect of Megillah that is persumei nisa, since they were nichlal in the miracle, or either they're the, now again, either the ikar nes like Rashi, or they were also saved. That is a reason to say women are mechuyev to be involved in persumei nisa, but women are still exempt in the Amalek aspect because they're not B'nai Smocha. Now he says, this is what Tosfos means in Erchin when he says, men are Chayev in Kriya and women are Chayev in Shmiya. Because like this, when your only Chayev of Megillah is Pirsumei Nisa, you want to publicize the miracle, then, even if you're not the one reading, you just show up at a place where Megillah is being read, your very presence in the place where Megillah is being read means you are participating in making the miracle a more public thing. So women have Shemiyah. On the other hand, Zechiras Amalek, the Gemara says, Befeirush, you're not Mekayim with thinking. You have to remember it b'peh. Now, that which we don't read the Megillah b'peh, or even Parshas Zohar, that's because Shemaya Ka'ona, when the Chazan reads it, it's like he's Mashaliach. But the mitzvah per se is b'peh. So that's what it means. Women are Chayavas in Shemiya because their mitzvah of Megillah is only Pirsume Nisa. Men are Chayav in Kriya because they have the additional mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek, which has to be b'peh. So now that Marcheshes says, we understand the Bahag very beautifully. There is a principle that says, if you're not mechuyev in a mitzvah, you can't be mozi somebody. Like a katan cannot be mozi because he's not mechuyev. The same principle that says, if I'm not mechuyev, I can't be mozi, would also mean, if I'm only mechuyev in one of two aspects, but you're mechuyev in two aspects, I can't be mitzi you because I don't have the same chiyev as you do. So, a woman is chayeves only in the persumei nisa aspect of Megillah. She's not chayeves in the zechiras amalek aspect of Megillah. So she can't be mitzi a man who is chayev in both aspects. Now, maybe you might say, well, maybe she's motzi the man in pursuing Nisa, but that's not going to work. Because a man can't be yotzei Megillah halfway. Meaning, since a man's chiyuv of Megillah embodies both things, he can't be yotzei his chiyuv of Megillah unless he's doing both things. And the woman cannot be motzi him in one of those things. Therefore, he can't be motzi. That's a very, very nice text. But now, the Marcheshes says a big chiddush that the women's liberationists might like. We know that we read Megillah twice. We read Megillah at night. We read Megillah in the morning. Now the Marcheshes wants to say that the Amalek component of Mikra Megillah is only in the daytime reading. It is not at the nighttime reading. And the reason is, because if the chinuch correlates zechira with mechia, you only remember when there's a chiyuv to wage war. Right? That's why women are putter. He brings a Rashi that says that we don't make a milchames mitzvah at night. Unless it's defensive, obviously if you're attacked, you fight, but we don't go out the milchames mitzvah at night. So it turns out there's no mitzvah to eradicate Amalek at night. If there's no mitzvah to eradicate Amalek, and the chinuch correlates remembering Amalek and eradicating Amalek, there's no mitzvah to remember Amalek at night. So it turns out Megillah at night is only Pirsume Nisa. Since on Pirsume Nisa, men and women are the same, so the Marcheshes wants to be Mechadesh. There is no problem with a woman reading Megillah for a man in the nighttime reading, and the Bahag Din is only referring that, right, the Bahag Din that a woman cannot be mighty a man is only referring to the daytime reading of the Megillah. Right, you hear the cheshbon. My only kasha on the Marcheshes' analysis is that if the nighttime reading is only Pirsume Nisa and it's not Amalek, then why do I make the bracha at night? Al Mikra Megillah. At night, I ought to make the bracha, even for men, in Shul. I ought to make the bracha L'shmola Megillah. Now there's the same thing I do for women in the day and at night, I should do for men at night, according to the Marcheshes. It's a good taina. I think the answer would be this, though. It's very interesting that, you know, if you learn Maseches Megillah, I think you will see that in the Mishnayos, there is literally no reference at all to reading Megillah at night. If all you, I mean, we're so used to it, we think, you know, that obviously when the Mishnah says Megillah, it means you read it at night also. But that's because we're used to it, that's what we do. But if you look in the Mishnah never mentions Megillah at night at all. The first time we hear that you have to read Megillah at night is a statement of the Amira, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that says, Chayav Adam Likros as a Megillah Balayla v'lishanais ha-Biyom. And I believe the Turi Evan says the following. The original Takana of Mordechai and Esther, which became the Takana of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, was only to read in the daytime. And even in the time of the Mishnah, that's all there was. It was a later Takana Rabbanan to also do it at night. So it could be, maybe this is a bit of a Dochik Teretz, since the Iker Megillah reading was in the day, so when the Rabbanan said also do it at night, they didn't want to make it a different bracha. They wanted to keep it uniform. So they kept the bracha of Al Mikra Megillah even at a night, even though logically Amalek is not involved at night, so we should only have said the Shmoa Megillah. Now there's a shtickle raya to this idea that the Iker Megillah is the day from the following. You know, we make a Shechiyanu the first time you do a mitzvah. Right? When you light Hanukkah candles, you only make a Shechiyanu the first day. Now, if you didn't make it the first day, you make it the second day. But if you make it the first time, you don't do it afterwards. Lulav and Esrog, you make a Shechiyanu only once. Sukkah, in Eretz Yisrael, you only make it once. In Chutz La'aretz, because of the 2 days of Yom Tov, you make it twice. But you only make it once. Now, for Purim, we make Shechiyanu both at night and in the day. Now the poskim say that when they make Shechiyanu in the day, you should be thinking that this is a bracha going on Shalach Manos and Matanos Le'Avyonim. But that's kind of an afterthought, because if it's going on that, then why say it about the Megillah? So here is the historical teretz. The historical teretz is that since the original takana of Mordechai and Esther was to read Megillah only in the day, so that kriya was mesukin with the Shechiyanu, because that was the first and only time. So even when the Rabbanan added an extra reading, they didn't want to be oiker the Shechiyanu that was put in as a takana of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. So in order that it shouldn't be a bracha levatala, we also think that we're covering Shalach Manas, Matanos Liavyainim, and Sudas Purim. But what I'm saying is, the reason it got put there is, that was the original Megillah reading, and that had the Shechiyonim. And therefore they didn't want to be under it, so they looked for a reason why we could still allow it to stay by saying you're Mechavein on other things. Because if it was only for those other things, then why put it in Megillah? I mean, there's no reason to put it there. Before you send Shalach Manas, make a bracha, or whatever. But the answer is, it was there because that was the only Megillah reading. Okay, so it could very well be, based on that Svara, that even though at night you should say Lishmala Megillah, but we don't want to make a new bracha based on the, we want to make it the same as the Takana of Mordechai and Esther. Right, so this is a bit of the Marcheshes Svara. Now obviously the Marcheshes is Chiddush, that you could read Megillah, I'm sorry, not to you, a woman could read Megillah at night. Obviously if you're going to do that, you do have to be careful about Kol Isha and all of these other things. But again, as I say, for a woman to sing to a man, to her husband, it's not usher. A woman can sing to her, in fact, let me go over that a little bit because it's a little bit of an unfamiliar thing. You need to know the following. The law that is called Kol Isha, the prohibition of listening to a woman singing, actually is two different halachas, two very, very different laws that almost have no shaychus to each other. Halacha number one basically says, I should not listen to women singing because it is sexually stimulating. I shouldn't go to operas, I shouldn't go to plays where women are singing. And then you have machloksim, does that apply to recorded music? You know, there's all sorts of machloksim about how does it apply to non-live singing. Now, that law of Kol Isha does not apply to your wife, it does not apply to your daughter, it does not apply to your mother. Whether it applies to your sister, we were makel until the sister was 11 or 12. After that, we're machmer on a sister. Okay. That is one halacha of Kol Isha. So, your wife can sing. And in fact, Rav Moshe Paskins, even if she's a nida, she could sing. Now, that's a machlokas, but that many paskin, that with a wife, with a mother, with a daughter, with a granddaughter, with a sister up to 11 or 12, there is no problem at all. Okay. Now, there's another halacha of Kol Isha that's very, very different. The other halacha of Kol Isha is, when a woman is singing, and you're hearing it, you're not allowed to daven, say brachos, or learn Torah. Now that law is absolute. That even applies to my wife, my sister, my mother, my daughter, my granddaughter. Meaning, I can sit at a recital of my grandchildren, but I'm not allowed to daven while my grandchildren are singing. Okay, that's an important thing. Even my own wife. Now, because of this, Rav Eliashiv had a funny psak. He was asked, can husband and wife sing Zemiros together? So he actually said no, because Zemiros are treated like davening, and he's not allowed to daven while his wife is singing Zemiros. So what do you do? So Rav Eliashiv said, the wife can sing, and the husband should be silent. Let his wife serenade him. And he's allowed to learn, because the issue of learning with Kol Isha is only if you say the words, and not if you're learning silently. So he should learn silently. Now, on this particular issue of Zemiros, many people argue, Shlomo Zalman argues absolutely, because he says Zemiros is not davening, etc., and therefore he allows it. And I would allow it to, I'm not telling anyone to be machmer on this. But the point I'm making is that Kol Isha has two different halachos. One is the general iser not to listen to women singing, which does not apply if the woman is your wife, daughter, or mother. And the second is the halacha that you're not allowed to daven or learn verbally, which does apply even to your wife, daughter, and mother. Right? Two different halachas. In fact, there are two different places in the Shulchan Aruch. The laws against Shema, learning, and davening is in Aruch Chaim. The law generally against Kodesh is in Eben Hoezer, Harchaka from Arayis. So therefore, coming back to Kodesh, therefore, if my wife needs to read Megillah for me, and I'm the only one there, she could even sing it. Because there's no iser for me, generally, to hear my wife sing. And even though it's usher for me to learn or daven or make a bracha, that's only if I'm motzi b'peh. But if I'm simply listening to her, like Rabbi Yosher's case of Zemiros, I'm allowed to do that.
But isn't she a shliach for you to say it?
Well, yeah, I understand, but I understand. Well, that's what your question. It reminds me of the question of the Levush. The Levush asks the question: what do we say if I'm davening Shemona Esrei and they're up to Kedusha, and I'm in the middle of Shemona Esrei? I'm not allowed to answer because of a hefsek, but I should be machaveh that the chazan is motzi me in the Kedusha. So the Levush asks the kasha. If listening to the chazan as if you said it, it should apply the hefsek. So you're machzik. It's like you talked. So the Levush says the following cheshbon. He says, the Gemara says, a good thought Hashem counts as a deed, and a bad thought Hashem doesn't count as a deed. So what if what I'm doing is both good and bad? So the good part counts as a deed, the bad part doesn't. So when I hear Kedusha, and I'm mechaveh to be yotzei, the good part is I answered Kedusha, the bad part is I'm mafsik. But legabe being mafsik, we say it's only a thought. Legabe being yotzei Kedusha, you said it. So it's kind of exactly the same cheshbon here. The iser of a person who hears his wife sing is to say the words. Shomea ka'ina is as if he said it, but only legabe being yotzei, not legabe doing an
aveira. According to the Kesher, you don't have to say that because we're only assuming this right now is Mr. Me, not.
You're assuming Nisa. Oh, he himself is not. Yes, you're right. It's even better. He himself is not Chayav in Kriya. You're right. I'm correct. That would work out. Because nice. They're the same in that way. So these are things to keep in mind. Now, one thing for sure is allowed. Women are allowed to have their own separate women's service, and a woman could read Megillah for women, that's for sure. The whole machloka, and that's even in the daytime, the whole machloka is only, can a woman read for a man, and there the marcheches was machadesh, that the bahag's din is only in the daytime, not at night. But for a woman to read for a woman or many women, that is permitted, with Lishmo on Megillah, that is permitted in the day, and that is permitted at night. Now, in the Haredi world, there's no big demand for that, my guess is. But in the modern Orthodox world, women want to do this. But the question to ask is the following. The question to ask is, to have these spin-off minyanim, is that a violation of the concept of pursuing Nisa? If without a woman's minyan, women would come to the bigger base Knesset. So once again, is the interest of feminists, whatever the interest might be, is that a legitimate basis to impair the concept of Revan Hadras Melech and Persume Nisa? So some Rabbanim are against even separate women's minyanim, even the, I shouldn't call them, it's actually not a minyan, but a separate women's group, even though Al P did, there's nothing wrong with it, but they say it is, well, number one, it's a step, it can lead to a slippery slope and other types of things. But number two, it's a violation of the idea of pursuing Nisa, which you try to have a rave on to be Mepharsim HaKadosh Baruch Hu's
mirror. They let
it if there's no other option? Yeah, there's no other option. It's mutter, it's vada mutter. There's no question. A woman can read Megillah for other women. There's no question at all. So for sure, it's mutter.
Is a person used to the idea of pursuing Nisa if he's the only one reading by himself?
Well, Lemaisa, he must be say something, because it is brought down that a person can read Megillah by himself, be Yechidus. Apparently, there are different levels of Persuminis. Persuminis can even include being Mephasim to yourself, proclaiming to yourself. So it's not a Yimahudr Dikr Persuminis, but there is some Kiyam even to himself. Chanukah is the same story. Chanukah were actually stricter. That's an interesting aura. It's brought down with Chanukah. What's the halacha? The Gemara says the Zman of Ner Chanukah is, it has to be within a half an hour of nightfall when there are pedestrians still walking. Now what if you come home 2 a.m. in the morning and there are no pedestrians? Can you light Neros Chanukah with a bracha? So they bring, B'shem, the Ramah brings, that if there are other people in your house that you're going to wake up or that are up, you can light, because there's a persume nisa for them, even though there's no persume nisa for people outside. But the persume nisa for the bnei bayis is sufficient. But it's mashma from the Ramah that if I'm living by myself and I come home and there's no traffic outside, I cannot light Neiros Chanukah at 2 o'clock in the morning because there's no persume nisa. Now that raises your question is an interesting question. It seems by Chanukah, something is called a persume nisa only if you are publicizing the miracle to another person. Publicizing it to yourself, so to speak, is not enough. And yet by Megillah, it seems pretty clear that you are mechuyev to read Megillah even if you're, now maybe because of Amalek, but that's interesting. So according to that, Rosh Hashanah, would you do it at night? In other words, according to the Rosh Hashanah, I mean, if you're going to tell me that there's no persume nisa to myself and it's only an Amalek dikadim, then at night I shouldn't have to do it. And Zelo Masinu, for sure, we would tell a person to make a bracha at night. By the way, just this one final hora, you may ask me a question. How can we use the Marcheshes to say women are not chayavis in the Amalek, and that's why they can't be mitzi, if our minhag is women go to Parsha Sochar? Women, apparently, we don't paskin like the Sefer Achinuch. We obligate women in Amalek. The answer is, the Marcheshes would say, we are mesupik in this, and therefore we have to be machmer both ways. Women go to Parsha Sachar because maybe the halacha is their chayevas. But a woman cannot be motzi a man in the daytime because maybe the halacha is she's not chayevas. So it's true that a woman going to Parsha Sachar and then telling a woman you can't read Megillah for a man is a contradiction. But it's a logical contradiction if it's based on an uncertainty. So you have to be machmer both ways. The woman must hear Parsha Zohar because maybe she's chayeves, but she cannot read Megillah for the man in the daytime because maybe she's not chayeves. Like the Chinuch himself, a woman wouldn't have to go to Parsha Zohar. But apparently we're mesupik if we paskin like the Chinuch or not. What time is it now? Okay, let's just up here. Okay. Very good. Yes, take care.